And we're going to call this teaching today, We Have a New Name. We have a new name. And turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and we will look at verse 42, yes, of John chapter 1. And it says here, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. It's interesting that Jesus, when he saw him, he was going to change his name to Cephas, or which means a stone. And of course, we know that the Lord commended him when he knew who the Christ was, and he said, "By that revelation and confession, I will build upon this stone my church." Again, using his name, a foundation of which Peter was and is. He's the foundation of the church, and the overcomers and all the saints who remain faithful and endure to the end are also those foundations, those pillars upon the stone, which is Christ, the rock. That is what we stand on. And that is what makes us resolute, standing through every trial and tribulation and everything that the devil tries to throw at us, because we cannot be moved. And that is what the Lord called him and changed his name. We're told that we will have a new name in heaven, in eternity. But it's interesting, isn't it, that God writes his new name on those areas where the cross does its work. And that's why we too are being changed from glory into glory. As he writes his new name upon us, so he does that work through the cross with those areas, delivering and changing us into his likeness, where he deals with that pride within us, where he's dealing with that self-sufficiency, where we're still independent of God. We have that independent spirit, which often works by pride. And he has a way with the trials and tribulations that we go through, where it throws us upon him in his mercy and grace. And what is he doing by writing that new name upon us? There he changes us in the inner man, the same as he called Peter Cephas upon the stone, the rock. And only God can do this. This is what makes our walk miraculous, unlike what religion or man or following a minister, which so many do, can do. When you are solely following the Lord and your eyes are gazed and fixed totally on him, then he's the one that changes us. He renews us. He works on our character, our nature, writing his name in those areas of our life. Every change in your life, my life, is he's written his name there, that name above all names, the same as he changed Peter's name. So he does it the same with us. You see, some of us only have a new name written in certain areas. But you see, the deeper life and walk in the Spirit isn't about just certain areas. It's every area that God sees fit to work on to see his image in us. And that's why we preach the deeper life and the way of the cross. You see, the good areas look fine and when we are in a good mood. But look at when I'm in a bad mood, when I'm battling, things have gone terribly wrong, or whatever it would be. Quite different, aren't we? You see, a true disciple is one who has a new nature written all over. It's written all over. It's about him, you see. It's taking on his name, his nature, filled, empowered with the Holy Spirit, in which to work the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. As I say so often, the fruit of the Spirit lies in the Holy Spirit. It's his perfections in us that are there when we go through a trial, a testing, or whatever it would be. As we yield to him, there will be a fruit that will manifest. When somebody ill-treats you and persecutes you, or whatever it would be, and we feel that hate or lack of love just manifesting, there's a fruit of the Spirit opposite, God's love manifesting as we yield. You see, in the trials, we have a choice whether we allow that cross to work like Jesus did. It says in Isaiah says he went like a lamb to the slaughter. That means he didn't retaliate. He didn't fight. He didn't justify. He relied on his Father in him, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in him was able to forgive the sins of the world. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is fruit speaking. That is God's love speaking through him that enabled you and I to be saved. Oh, we will never be able to thank him enough in eternity. We will always be praising and thanking him for what he did, that he yielded, he obeyed, he didn't resist. Even in the greatest trial and conflict of his life, being put to a cross. And that's why the cross deals with it. A lot of this is quite simple, really. It's just in our resistance, we make it complicated and difficult, but it isn't really. This is the amazing thing, that God's word, the meat of the word, is not that difficult because grace is attached to it, and mercy, and the help of the Holy Spirit. It's just when we believe, we stop resisting, we simply yield and let him work, there is the simplicity of it. You know, I see online Christians, many, many of them, they are so complicated, messed up, bickering, arguing, fighting. Why? They have never yet learnt to yield to God. And you see it in the house of God. This is why Christians can't get on with one another. I know that we also hold to truth and the word of God and doctrine. Yes, that is important. But that priestly prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17 that I spoke on the other day is a prayer for people, vessels that are yielded to the Spirit, not fighting, resisting, but doing it his way. That is the point. What does it tell us in Matthew 11 and verse 28? Here it is, the most simplest term. I've preached on this many times, where it says, come to me, All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is exactly where sin, unbelief, is stopped at the door. When he says, simply come to me. Don't hide. Don't run away. Exactly what Adam and Eve did. The moment they sinned, they knew they were naked. And what was the next thing they do? Try to sow fig leaves, and they hide from God when they hear him in the cool of the evening. That's always what it does. You've done it, I've done it. Until in God's mercy and grace, he catches up with us. And we realize we can't go on like this. You realize I cannot live like this. This isn't living. This isn't a life. And when we come to him and we turn to him, that burden, that load is lifted. And we are again at peace, in fellowship, oneness with him. And the more you experience that, the more you want of it. Trust me. Your whole life and what you face is in those three words, come to me. And there it is. Those three words make our lives uncomplicated, simple before God. And this coming to the Lord is turning to him and getting in prayer, walking with him, keeping your eyes on him, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up in tongues in the Holy Spirit. All of that helps to keep us in fellowship, in unity with him. You see, our Lord's words aren't do this or do that. That's not what he's saying there. That's what religion says. That's what man says. Bondage. He's not saying that at all. Come to me. And as you do that, I will work the rest through the Holy Spirit. That's why he's a comforter. The parakletos. It means in Greek to lean upon. It's like you... against the wall, you put your whole weight on that wall, leaning on it, knowing that it won't collapse. That's what it means. And that's why he tells us not to do, but to be before him. My life's desires are his. And where there is sin, deliverance, it will be brought in complete harmony with his will, because the blood of Jesus cleanses. That is why I say our walk is a deliverance, and we don't always get deliverance straight away. I've been walking well over 40 years with God, and there are periods and times when I think, surely, after all these years, you should be at that place. But we're still a work in progress, and will be until he comes for us in the clouds. But what we do is we maintain that harmony with him, that oneness, and he will ever continue working with us as we daily come to him, fellowship with him, walk in his presence. It's Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. And if you want that, then God is going to work that in you, because that's where you find him. There are many religious places where you do not find him. That's why I left the Anglican Church, because I didn't find him there. It's just lip service. It's an outward form, a show. They're all busy, busy people. As I say so often, busy Christians are the least spiritual. And yes, we are to work for him, don't get me wrong, but it all stems from relationship, that we come to him. But often we let stubbornness keep us away. No, I'll do this myself. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. Oh gosh, how many times have we done that, only to find we fall flat on our face? Jesus is the one who calls us and he shows us, come to me if you labour and are heavy laden, I'll give you that rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. So it's a learning, he says. This is where you learn. For I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. That is the problem at times. He's so gentle. He's so loving that we think he's left us, or he's not interested in me anymore. Not at all. He's lovingly, gently wooing you, working on you, working through those areas where you feel that you've been so damaged. He's gentle. He's a dove. And he works that way to woo you so that you come to me. Not forcing you. Not that you've got to do something in that sense. What can we do for God? Nothing other than give him our heart, our devotion, and laying ourselves, our very soul on that altar, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he will do the rest. Not by might, not by power, it is the Spirit of the Lord. And we're gradually getting this one, aren't we? Because this is where you find him. And this is why so often we need to withdraw and just have our time on our own with our Heavenly Father, drawing that strength that comes from the throne of grace. But we just let that stubbornness come in the way, and we grind on and we dig our heels in, and simply to find when those trials and those tests come, we fall flat on our face. And why is he allowing that? Until we eventually get his attention, when we eventually come to him, as he says, because he wants to write a new name upon you. That's why. There is a name he has for each of you saints. And he's made no mistake, that new name, and that name that you will know in eternity, that name will be something of you, your character, your personality, but also of how he's done a work of change within you, you see? With regard to Peter, he was going to make him a rock, a stone. Well, that was a miracle, because we know what the character and nature of Peter was. He was impulsive. He couldn't wait. He blundered in. Anything but a stone, a rock. But look how God changed him after he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And look how he's changing you and I, brothers and sisters, into his likeness. When he says, come, he's not saying, come and I'll give you a cuddle. I'll put you to bed. I'll sing you a lullaby. No, that's when you were a child. It's what your mother did. No, he's saying, come. And he's going to meet us as a friend. And there he's going to work. and minister wisdom, grace, love. He's going to show us lovingly those areas we need to let go. What is it all about? It's to get you and I out of the way. Is to root out that self-pity, that depression, and he's going to put within you a new song that will raise you up in glory, in power and in strength. And that new song is going to be your praise, your worship to him, lifting those holy hands into his presence. But often we like to wallow in our sufferings, don't we? We just have a way of just wallowing in it and just being negative, and we can't wait to tell people that it's this or it's that and this is what I'm feeling. Well, God says, I'll lift all of that. I'll change all of that. I'll put a new song within you, where your words will harmonize with God's word, which is what he wants to do. It will be a confessing the word, the promises of God's word, even when you're going through a trial or whatever it would be, or if you're going through a financial trial, you'll find that what comes out, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Abraham's blessings are mine. That's what comes out. And it all comes out. Those three words. Come to me. Let's finish off with Psalm 40 and verse 3. Psalm 40. And verse 3, which says this: he put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Did you know that that new song, God changing your heart, many will hear? It means that he's placing within you that boldness, that joy, the word of God. And it says that it will be there and many will hear it and see it. That's what he's saying. Many will see the fear and trust in the Lord. What is that fear? A fear that he is God, he is sovereign, and that he has the final say over everything. Not Satan or man. They see that. They will know that. This is why I often say, when you are walking with God, you are speaking 1,000 words, but you don't know it. Those demons know it in people. You are, because that is God's glory. You cannot suppress it. It cannot be shut away. His glory, his presence on us and through us is light, as he is the light of the world in John 1. And that light exposes darkness. And that's what it's about. Don't ever limit how God works and will work. He has you and I in the right places, the right situations, meeting the right people, leading and guiding us. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense at all. But don't doubt. Just trust and believe. I walk, Romans 8, in the spirit, not the flesh. I don't understand it with my natural mind, but my spirit does. Oh, I've had to learn some of that, brothers and sisters, one of which years and years back called to a meeting where we booked the hall each week, and gradually one after the other stopped coming until I was down to one lady just coming. And she wasn't in the best of health, and she wasn't sure whether she could come anymore. And she just rang. She rang through one day and said, "Sorry, I'm not going to be able to go there." I thought, okay, right. Well, that looks as though the meetings are finished. And God said, "No, they're not. I'll be there." And so I had to go. And I preached to the walls. What was God teaching me? He was teaching me to walk by faith in the spirit, not in the flesh. And when I had done that, then he said, "We move on." And he shut that door. And that is a chapter. This is what God does. And this is what he's going to do with you and I. It won't make sense at times. But he's still saying to us, "Come to me. Trust me. You walk by faith and not by sight." And eventually we start to get it. Eventually you start to learn God's ways. When you see it happening, you think, "Yeah, this is the Lord. This has to be God. It can't be anything else." And it is. And you just move with it. And so often, afterwards, it opens up and wow, you see the bigger picture. You think, "Yes, I had to go through that to see what God has done and will do." And that's what he's doing. He's renewing our mind, casting down those doubts and unbelief and the negative and the fears and the doubts, because the battle is in the mind. And he's replacing our mind with his thoughts, his word, his spirit. Why? Because you are doing what he says, "Come to me." That is it. We have a new name, and he's writing that name on every area of your life and my life. Praise God.